Hey there, and welcome to the One Church podcast. This message was recorded live at one of our services. If you'd like to know more about life at One Church, visit us online at weareone.church or check us out on social media.
Today I want to share with you, have you ever found felt like your faith is stuck? Right? Like you're not sure where it's going. You're not sure how to get out of the funk you're in. Your faith feels stuck and you want to know how to get unstuck. Well, today I want to talk to you from the book of Genesis chapter 12 about a guy called Abram, or Abraham as he was later known. And Abram has a moment with God that leads to an incredible movement. He has a moment with God that leads to, it's all happening today. He has a moment with God that leads to a movement. And what I want us to understand today is that it is our moments with God that lead to movements. Moments lead to movements. All great movements of God began with someone, somewhere, having a moment with God that created the space for faith to bring about a movement. And I want to talk to us about faith that moves today. If your faith is stuck, today we're going to get unstuck with faith that moves, because moments lead to movements. Says this in Genesis chapter 12. The Lord said to Abram, go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you, and I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse those who curse you, and all the peoples on earth will be blessed through you. Come on. Anyone ready to get unstuck? You want your faith to move? Father God, I just pray this morning as we open your word, Lord, and as we just open our hearts to hear from you, God, would you ignite faith within us? Would you activate faith within us? That our faith would begin to rise and that we would see a movement. That we would experience and encounter your blessing. And Lord, that our faith wouldn't just stay stagnant. Our faith wouldn't just remain here in the confines of a Sunday morning. But it would move out of these walls and out of our lives and out of our hearts into the world that we live in. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Faith that moves. And I want, one of the things I want you to notice as you read that passage, and I want you to notice about this moment that Abraham has with God, is that it is God that is inviting Abraham into his adventure. It's not Abraham inviting God to bless his ideas. It's God, the creator, God, Lord, God, the master, God of all, inviting Abraham into his adventure. It's not the other way around. And God says, then he says, I will. And what I've discovered in my life is that God's I will is always better than my will. God's I will is always better than my will. Too often, I think we're so busy asking God to come and bless our will instead of seeking God's will for our lives. The first movement I think God wants you to make is a movement from our will to his will. It's a movement from our will to his will. What did Jesus pray in the Garden of Gethsemane, just before his crucifixion? He said, Father, if you are willing, will you take this cup of suffering from me? But yet not my will be done, but yours. It was a movement of will, not my will, but yours be done. I knew from a young age that if I was going to become a Christian, I knew that God would have more of a plan for my life, more than just a plan for my Sunday mornings, but he would have a plan for my life. I knew it from a young age. I knew that God didn't send his son into the world so that whoever would believe in him would never be bored again on Sundays. I knew that. Jesus said, I have come to give you life and life in all its fullness. And the thing about God's will is that the fullness of life is that it is discovered and found when you start following his will. And so I knew that there would be a conflict in my faith if I became a Christian. And so when I did become a Christian, there was this conflict between my will and God's will. And I loved my will. Me and my will, we got on like a house on fire. We just got each other. My will benefited me a lot. My will was easy. My will was comfortable. We were in a happy relationship. But there was this conflict between my will and his will. And what I found in my life is that the more moments I have with God, the easier it is for my will to move to his will. At the beginning of the year, New Year's resolution, I decided to start exercising again. For those of you who don't know, I've had a health condition that means I haven't exercised for 13 years. Yeah, no, well, maybe a little bit less than that. It's called getting married, yeah. The health issue was about 7 years. Before that, it was just laziness. And so when I went out for my first bike ride, I got halfway and I took a break. And as I got off my bike, had a break, and then as I went to get back on my bike, my body just seized up halfway. So it looked a bit like this. If you were on the cycle track near Salford at the time, you would have seen it. It looked like this. And then I just collapsed. The bike collapsed. I tumbled onto the floor. I had a pedal in me. And it was like, oh, it was all very painful and embarrassing. Hopefully nobody saw it. But my body struggled to move. And what I realized is the more that I move, now that I've done it for a few weeks, I am able to do the whole bike ride without seizing up. Because the more I move, the easier it is for my body to move. And it's the same with God. The more moments we have with him, the easier it is for our will to move from our will to his will, because his will is always better than our will. Moments lead to movements. The more you move, the easier it is to move. And these moments with God lead to a movement of our will. Even John the Baptist, who had a significant ministry in his day, he was preparing the way for Jesus. He was baptizing people, you know, in the River Jordan. He was the forerunner of Jesus. And yet even he said, I must decrease and Jesus must increase. It was a movement of will. You know, I think too often we pray prayers that sound a bit like this. God, I want more of you. Have you ever prayed that kind of prayer? And I wonder whether instead of praying, God, I want more of you, we should actually be praying, God, I give more of myself to you. I give more of my will to you. I mean, think about it, right? How much more can God give you? He's already created the universe for you. He's already given you life and breath. He's already sent his son, Jesus, to die on a cross so that all of our sin, all of our mess, everything that separates us from God, it was taken off of us. It was placed onto Jesus, who then died on a cross so that you could be forgiven, so that you could have new life, so that you could have a relationship with God. And then it doesn't stop there. He then came along and said, bam, have my spirit. The same spirit that raised Christ from the dead, I'm now giving you that spirit. It is in you. I have given you my spirit. I have given you gifts. I have given you abilities. In fact, the Bible says you have everything you need for a life of godliness. So what more are you waiting for? The prayer shouldn't be, God, I need more of you. The question is, are you willing to give more of yourself to him? I need to give you more of my will. As we make ourselves available to him, he can pour blessing into our lives. The only limitation to the blessing of God is how much of ourselves we're willing to give to him and how much we want to hold on to. It's a movement of will, and it's our moments with God that create the space for faith to bring about a movement of will. The problem with living according to our will is that we miss out on God-orchestrated moments and opportunities to change the world. If Abraham would have not listened to God's will, all those people, all those nations that were blessed through him, the opportunity would have been missed. I wonder how many times we've stood in church like this, and we prayed the prayers, and we're, God, I want more. God, I give you my life. And we're singing, and we're, I stand. And we're doing, we're giving ourselves to God. We're saying, God, I want you to have my life. And then he says, great. And then on Monday morning, you wake up and, God, I've given you my life. We've just come back off of an amazing Sunday service. And God says, great, I want you to go and forgive that person. And you're like, oh. I'll forgive anyone, but not her. You don't know what she's done. You know? How many times we've stood there and say, God, I give you everything. And then on Monday, God says, okay, then I want you to use your finances to bless the church. Oh, I've got some time I can spare. I've got some, you know, I'll let the richer people do that. They seem to be doing well without my money. Oh, God, I give you my life. Oh, great. Monday comes. I want you to go and pray for that person because they need me. Oh, God. I would look ridiculous if I start praying for a random person. How much of your will are you willing to give to God? God says to Abraham, I want you to go. It's God's plan. It's God's will. It's God's dream. And if you step out in faith and if you follow his will, he says, I will bless you and I will make your name great. You will be blessed and you will be a blessing to others. God's will always results in a blessing to both you and to others. God's will always results in a blessing to both you and to others through you. And the second movement I want to talk about that I believe God wants us to make is a movement of our faith, a movement from fear into faith. The Bible says we walk by faith and not by, we walk by and not by sight. Abraham is given no details about where to go. He doesn't tell him all of the plans up front. He just says, I want you to go to a place and I'll show you the way, but I need you to just go now. Just go. And he doesn't have any details. And there's this moment where Abraham has to take a step of faith and he's got to start going. And then God will start leading. And this is how we get our faith moving. If your faith is stuck, we've just got to start taking some steps of faith and we will start moving. And then God begins to show us the way. He begins to create space for us. A moment creates a movement from fear into faith. How many times have you done this? I know I do this a lot, but we try and make deals with God like he's not the creator, don't we? We say, God, if you give me a sign, then I will do it. God, if you do this for me, I'll do that for you. God, if you could just make all of these things line up perfectly for me, then I'll take a step of faith. But that's not how faith works. Faith is activated in our lives when we, without all the knowledge, without all the detail, we're just this moment with God and we say, okay, God, I'm going to take a step. I'm going to go. And then God begins to lead us in that movement. It's how faith works. You know, this week, as we said, it's the first week of our fasting February. And what often happens or can happen when you're fasting and when you're praying is that you become very, very aware of God's voice speaking to you. You become a lot more aware of his nudges of the Holy Spirit asking you to do things. And as I was praying and fasting this week, something happened to me where I felt God speak to me, just a very small thing. And it was really weird because I was on my way to work. I was driving to work and I felt just this moment, I just heard the whisper of God say, Chris, I don't want you to go to work there today in the office. I want you to go and work in Keynsham. And I thought, I don't want to go to work in Keynsham today. I want to work in the office today because in the office, the tea is free. And it's a bit warmer in the office and it's quicker to the office, which means I can do more work. I'm going to have to drive to Keynsham. I don't know what it was. And so I just carried on driving to work. But maybe because I was fasting and praying, I was a little bit more aware of my rebellion. And I just felt like, no, I need to go to Keynsham today. I didn't know why. I didn't have the detail. But faith was activated in that moment. And so I said, okay, God, I'll go work in Keynsham today. And so I drove to Keynsham. And I started to walk up and down the high street. And I began to pray. And I said, and I felt, as I was praying, I felt God say to me, he said, Chris, I am the God of connections. And I thought, wow, God has already sent someone else to Keynsham and they're going to meet me today and they're going to give me the keys to a brand new building for one church. I'm so glad I listened to God. This is going to be a miracle we could write books about. This is going to be incredible. And as I'm walking up, there's no connections. Nobody comes to greet me with any keys. And so I thought, right, okay, I'm just going to carry on with my work then. So I grabbed a seat in the coffee shop, grounded, opened my laptop, started preparing this message. And as I'm preparing, that idea of connected, God's a God of connections, is still brewing in me. And I felt I felt like I needed to pray. And so as I'm kind of typing away, I began to pray and I noticed God point out to me a table of women that were all, a table of women, and they were all chatting and laughing and enjoying themselves around the table. And I felt God say to me, I want you to pray a prayer of blessing over their friendships. And then I want you to go and tell them that that's what you've done. Whoa. God, I give you my life. I didn't know why I was in Keynsham, but I felt like God was telling me I needed to do this. And how do you know when God's leading you? Well, firstly, because you don't want to do it. I didn't want to do that. It's going to be super weird just walking up to a random bunch of women in a coffee shop and telling them I'm praying for them. Very weird. The second reason you know it's from God is because I felt so compelled to do it that I couldn't leave without doing it. There's this conflict of will. I didn't want to do it, but everything in me knew I couldn't walk out without doing it. And so I prayed for them. I walked up over to them. I introduced myself. I said, I told them what God had said to me and that I was to come over here and I was to start praying for you and your friendships. And I began to tell them what I was praying for. and their faces lit up. I thought, oh, this is going better than I thought. And then I got to the end and they said, oh, thank you so much for coming over. We're all Christians. oh, wow. Okay, this is good. And they were like, you can't believe how accurate you just were in terms of what you prayed. And it must have taken so much faith, you know, and courage to come here and pray for us. And it was just, thank you so much. And then it turns out that one of the ladies there, she knows Claire Collins. I thought, this is so unfair. No matter what you try and do for God in this community, Claire Collins has already done it. She's always one step ahead of you. Always one step. Now, I don't know why God wanted me to pray for them. Maybe it was just a test for me to see whether I would really listen to his voice. But as I stepped out, I believe I certainly walked away feeling blessed and encouraged. And I pray my prayers to them was a blessing and encouragement. And it certainly seemed that way. As you listen, as you take a step, you don't know all the answers. But when you activate faith and you start moving, God can bless you and he blesses others through you. Do you know, checking the time, do you know we wouldn't be here today if Simon wouldn't have listened to a nudge of the Holy Spirit when he was driving down the M5 one day and he just felt like God say, you need to get off at this Gloucester. You need to get off of this junction in Gloucester and you need to start praying. And Simon was, I'm sure, very busy. He had places to go, things to do. And if he would have ignored it, you and I wouldn't be here today. But he didn't. He heard the nudge. He thought, okay, I don't know why I'm getting off. I don't know what this looks like, but I'm getting off. So he got off the motorway. He climbed to the top of Robinswood Hill and he began to pray. And God began to download a vision into his heart that became the vision of One Church. You and I are here today because of that nudge to get off the M5. And as many of you will know, our vision today, or the next phase of what we're doing here at One Church, is we're going to be planting churches on every single junction of the M5 from Birmingham down to Exeter. Wherever you go on the M5, we're planting churches. Did Simon know that when he took that turn off the M5 all those years ago? He had no idea that was what it would become, but he just made a movement. God, I trust you. A step of faith. You don't have to have all the details. You don't have to know, but just listen. And it might just lead to a miracle. Abraham's part to play in this story was to follow the dream that God had for him. Even though he didn't have all the detail, all the answers, he didn't know where he was going. He just said, God just said, go. And I will lead you. I will lead you. Pack up your bags. I will lead you. Part of making room for God in our life is making space, creating space for him to come and lead us into some God-led risks. Risk-taking, faith adventures, steps of faith. I didn't know why God wanted me in Keynsham on Wednesday, but I just took a step of faith. Maybe there'll be a building at the end of it. Maybe there'll be some people that have just been blessed. I don't know. I'm just going to take a step of faith. Faith that moves always requires the inconvenience of change and risk. It was more convenient for me to go to work in the office. But instead, I had to go and pay for coffee. I had to go and pay to work in Keynsham. There was a risk. There was an inconvenience of change. But I have never once heard a story of anybody who's ever done any great exploits for God that didn't have to take a risk somewhere. Didn't have to take a step of faith. Anna already talked about Peter. There came a moment when Peter saw Jesus on the water. There's a moment came for him where it was no longer about just what he was speaking and confessing with his mouth. He had to actually step out of the boat, put his foot, and with that, all of his weight, onto the water. And then he began to walk towards Jesus. It was a step of faith. It was an activation of faith that led to this incredible miracle. And I wonder if that boat represents our Sunday experience sometimes. God, I confess with my mouth, I love you, I want to live for you. And then Monday comes and he says, step out of the boat. And we're like, maybe we'll wait till next Sunday. I'll feel it more then. But at some point, we've just got to take a step of faith. Moments create the space for faith to bring about a movement. God-led risks meant that Abraham moved to a place that resulted in the peace and prosperity for all nations on earth. God's dream was so much bigger than what Abraham's was. He said, I will bless you and all the people through you. And I just felt, as I close now, the band can come up. I just felt God say to me as I was preparing this message, God wants our church to be a church that is willing to activate faith into movement in our lives. A church that is willing to activate faith into movement. God wants us to be a church that are willing to take some faith-led risks. They might be scary. We might not know all the details. But as we take a step, this is what God said to me. I'm going to pour so much resource and blessing into your church that you are going to be able to be a blessing to this community and the communities beyond here. This is going to be a resourcing church. A church that is so blessed by God that we are going to be able to resource the move of God into our city and the surrounding areas. God wants us to activate faith in the room. And so I want to close with this final story. Anna and I were newly married, literally almost like immediately after, and we were at a church youth event conference thing, and there was an offering being taken, and the preacher encouraged us to give into this offering. We had no money left. We just got married. We've just moved into a house. We had nothing. The only money we had was our food for the rest of the month, and both of us just felt compelled by God to give our money to God. We gave in this offering, and we thought, okay, God, we don't know why, but we're going to take this step of faith. And we gave that money. We just gave it all into the offering. We came home from that conference, that youth camp, and we walked into our house, and we didn't know this had happened at all until that moment, but somebody had brought us 2 weeks worth of shopping. And they filled our fridge, our freezer, our cupboards completely full to overflowing. We had bags on the floor. We didn't know that was going to happen. When we made that faith step to say, God, we'll give you this £100 that we've got left to our name, we didn't know that that's what would happen, because that's how much shopping cost when we were that young. And if you guys, that wouldn't get you a packet of biscuits, but we gave it. And God made a way. It was a faith-led risk that led to us receiving an incredible blessing. God says, will you trust me? Will you trust me? Because if you will trust me, if you'll move your will from your will to my will, and if you'll take a step of faith, I promise you, I will pour so much blessing into your life that you will become a blessing. Not just to your family, not just to the next generation, but to the generations to come.